y'all. All right, kiddos. Ready for Friends Church, Children's Church. Ready. Break. Show us how you walk. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking at the first seven verses of that chapter. I'm going to be preaching about strong grace. And I'm going to confess to you that my heart is heavy. And I don't necessarily feel like preaching on strong grace. Or strong anything. Because I don't feel real strong. But can I tell you something? It's when you're weary. It's when you're heart's heavy, that's when you find out what you're committed to, what you're dedicated to. That's when strength makes a big difference. That's when we need strong grace. Y'all get what I'm saying? You know, so when at 10 o'clock at night, Grenada gathers up in the main intersection just to pay honor to a fallen hero, you know, and your heart's kind of heavy, and you know there's people who can't even talk about it, and there's people so wounded, and you know that you've been a church that's been praying for the violence to cease, and you feel like maybe just it's not accomplishing a whole lot. It's time to dig deeper at that point, and that's when you need strong grace. Can I tell you, our strength isn't tested in the good times, but in the bad times. What you believe will not be shown down to its deep foundations unless there's a storm kicking up all the dirt and dust and everything else. And that's where, we come and we say, yeah, well, we're going to preach on grace. We're going to continue on. We might don our black suit, but you know what? We're going to preach it. Anyway, now, I'll give this announcement later, but since it's kind of a part of our illustration, there will be a viewing tonight for Lee Tart at Friendship Baptist Church from 4 to 8. And then the funeral will be tomorrow at Friendship at 11 o'clock. Okay? So if you're planning on attending that, that's when those times are. If you're not planning on attending that, please pray, like I said, for the family. For his children, his wife, for his friends. One of his best friends is Adam Eubanks. And I got to see his son. And his son about couldn't talk yesterday because they grew up. Adam helped Lee build his house. And it hurts me. I think to myself, how would I be if my best friend was just murdered 2 days ago? How would I feel? How would I be? How would some, you know, and just that empathy, that connection, it just hurts me. You know, I don't know how it is for y'all, but just pray for those. Pray for the people who do the same thing, and they got to strap on their gun and go back out and do the same things he was doing. Pray for those folks. Because it's got to make, if it don't make you uneasy, you know, my wife's in the room. She was. Where are you at? Where'd she go? She's not in the room anymore. She would jump on my back, knock me out, feed me poison that would make me sleep in order to not let me go to work if that was my job. I'm just telling you, it'd be hard, hard on your family. Pray for our law enforcement. Pray for our soldiers. Pray for those who put themselves in the harm's way on purpose. Just do that. And but it's in these times where we think about strong grace. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture and see how appropriate God timed this, even though I might not feel it, feel what the Holy Spirit says through His Word. Think about this strength. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will teach, who are able to teach others also. And then you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer, he must be first to partake of the crop. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Father God, would you be with us as we consider your word and we consider being strong in grace. The grace that you give us through your word. The grace that you've given us on the cross. The grace that says it's not about our strength, but about yours. Would you make us strong in that arena of grace? No longer seeking ourselves, but seeking that which you've given freely through Christ. And Father, make us strong. Make your church strong. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I know this. I know, and y'all may not, so this is going to be news to you. On April 24th, we're going to have a time of revival, renewing, awakening. Somebody said we ought not call it revival. This time's too old-fashioned for us. I don't know what we're going to call it. We're going to have a special time starting April 24th when we come together. And before then, we're going to have prayer times where we come together and we say, Lord, you do in us as Christ Community Church what you want to do. You come and work among us. And we're going to have special a week, Wednesday through half a week, Sunday through Wednesday. And we're going to meet together for revivals. I think about calling it something year one, promised land, year one. I don't know what we'll call it. Something cool, clever, all that stuff, which makes no difference in the end, but we'll call it that. But here's the point. We want to ask God to do something in us that only He can do. And y'all, when this scripture came to my mind, it gave me a picture of what I think God wants to do at Christ Community Church through a revival. You know, I think we got to be able to picture it. God, what is it you want us to do? What do you want to do among us? And I'll tell you, this is what it is. He wants us to be strong in grace. He wants us to be strong in grace. You know, that's just what it will look like. It's not going to look like at Christ Community Church, us finally coming to our senses and saying, God loves everybody. Everyone should be welcome here. Well, God brought us to those senses from the very beginning. That's a special kind of church He's made us. It's not going to be the kind of church that says, hey, we ought to be lively and free in the Lord, even if we have sad days now and then. Because God's already brought that and given us freedom, and I hope you experience it. But can I tell you where He hasn't brought us yet? And that's to a point where we are strong in grace, willing to say, yes, Lord, I trust you with my very soul, and I'm willing to give myself for you and your mission right here in the one life that I have to live. I give myself to you. That's strong in grace. That's the arena in which He wants us to grow up. I think that's what He wants from us. He wants folks to step up and say, yes, Lord, I know what you've given. I know who you are. And because I know you, I know who I am. And I'm going to follow. No matter what the cost. I'm going to follow no matter what I feel like. We live in a world that follows its feelings. We need to be a church that's strong in grace. Where does that grace come from? I mean, there's no mistaking it in the scripture. It's just solid. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When I think of being strong in grace, I think about being close to Christ. He is my source of strength. He's my source of life. He's my source of grace and hope and peace and love. I want not only to be near Him, I want my life to start conforming to His values and who He is. Hey, who do you look up to the most? Who shapes your life? Who is it that that you say, I can count on no matter what. And I want to be someone who people can count on no matter what. And I'm going to tell you, you'll find that person. Or at least you won't find any better person than Christ. Oh, Jesus loves you. His love's not unproven. His love's not tied up in potential. It seems like I'm going to have to stop for a second because there's a fuzzy going on in my microphone.
Unplug it and then plug it back up.
Yeah, I did that once today. I think it's something that they're doing. Okay, can you hear me? Even though there's a fuzzy. Listen through the fuzzy. God wants us to be strong in grace. Strength that he's talking about can be seen in a lot of different ways. We call different things strength. Whether it be fitness, strength, health, happiness, wholeness. I don't know what you want to call it, but he wants us to be strong, fit, healthy, able to stand, able to walk with him where he goes. You reckon Jesus is afraid to go anywhere? Do you think the Holy Spirit of God is afraid to lead you anywhere? Do you think he won't go with you anywhere? He wants us to be strong enough to go with him and not say, no, Lord, I can't go. Not to say, oh, no, Lord, that's too much. To say, oh, no, Lord. Being strong and healthy and fit in the grace that comes from Christ, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Not to be a timid church, a weak, anemic church that can't pick up the load it's being called to pick up, but being that church that says, I'm blood bought, washed by Christ, in the family of God, and on the road to heaven, I may have to carry a load, but I'm not afraid because I'm strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. He wants us to be strong. Amen. That strong is an assurance and an ability. Most of the time I preach assurance. And so y'all have heard it. We need to rest in Christ. To be strong in grace means that you know, and I'm trusting that you know, but I'm going to preach it now and I'm going to preach it again and again, that there's not one thing, not one little thing you can do to make God love you more, because he loves you with everything he's got. He's given Christ to you, and there's nothing that you can do to earn or buy your salvation. To be strong in grace means to be strongly saved. Not just in the practicality that God saved me, but in your knowledge. I know that I'm saved. I know that because it's not based on me, it's based on him. And what I know about him is that he never changes. That he'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. Grace, there is no safety net like grace that grabs you. There is also no better launching pad than grace that throws you up into the heights that you could never reach on your own. This is the part I don't preach as often. Grace is the most empowering of all things in the world. I'm not trying to earn God's love, but because I am filled with God's love, I can reach heights I could never reach on my own. If you're not strong in grace, your efforts will always be self-centered, self-promoting, all about you. You trying to get something, even if it's trying to get something from God, get something from the church or your spouse or the government, whoever. It'll always be about you. How can you sleep at night? Even here, I'm asking if it's about you. How do you lay your head on the pillow at night and realize that you are your God? You are your best hope. I don't know how you do it. I reckon you just got to be real dishonest about yourself. When I lay my head down, one of the sweet things is that I know I lay my life in the hands of a God who is capable of keeping me and taking me places I'd never be. Some of those places, not like climbing Mount Rushmore, but I don't think that's legal. Mount Everest, the other mountain. A lot of times people think, well, that's the grace of God to take me to these great heights. Can I tell you the grace of God this year? I've been married 16 years, and I'm a lousy guy And God gave my wife grace to stay with me. God gave me grace to not run and be a coward. And I'm not saying anything about, I'm telling you, that's grace. It's not of me. He's given me grace to be a parent. Parenting is humiliating. That wasn't even a joke. I'm just preaching the truth. It's humbling. I mean, it'd be great if these kids did what you told them to do when they told, when, you know, clean your room. They'd be like, yes, sir, I'm going to clean it. Be like, who are you? What have you done with my child? It pushes you, but by the grace of God, I haven't hurt any of them. Seriously. These are the accomplishments, the abilities. I used to be a blasphemer, an atheist, a raunchy man. And now I'm preaching behind the pulpit in a Southern Baptist church by the grace of God. And if you don't know how far a difference that is, catch me on an off day. It's all by the grace of God. We try to make it, we're going to go to some heights. I'm going to tell you, be strong in the grace and you'll accomplish things maybe you never thought you could. Like becoming someone's teacher about Christ. Being someone's role model. I know if I were to take a survey out here and said, are you ready to teach someone how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And say, oh, most everybody's first answer, oh, not me. Oh, not me. Not me. I can't do that. I could never do that. Why? Well, because I don't live it. Why? Well, because you haven't gotten strong in the grace of God yet. You know, it's not about you. He has a great commission that we make disciples. And if we keep focusing on us and our weakness and our frailty and not on His strength and His grace, you may be right. You may be one of the 95% of all Christians who don't lead anybody to the Lord, who don't disciple anybody, but that's not what He wants for Christ Community Church. He wants us to be strong in the grace of God, not obsessed with our own weakness. He gives us four examples. Four examples. First is that of a teacher. Listen to this. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. The first picture of strength and being strong in grace is the teacher. Let me say first, thank you to all those who teach at Christ Community Church because you've taken it on. We don't have the finest of structures all the time. We're not always the best organized of churches and peoples. So if you teach here, it's because you've taken on something. It's because you've decided to be strong. And I just want to say thank you for it. You're a good example. For those who aren't teaching yet, I want to say, listen, what a picture of strength. When a teacher teaches, they don't automatically change their students right away, do they? You don't automatically see light bulbs flashing on, do you? You don't see them saying, you know, just walking up and going, oh yeah, thanks, you taught that last week and now I know. LG gets on to me all the time. He says, everybody in the church had a membership class. They ought to know what we're about. I'm like, well, we gave them one time 5 years ago. They might have forgot. Teaching is about being gutsy enough to keep repeating the truth and repeating the truth and repeating the truth, even though it's unappreciated, until it sinks in someday. You got to believe that one day it's going to work. And I tell you, this picture of strength is also one of the most strategic pictures of strength that we have. It's a picture of strength that says, look, what you've received from God, you are never meant to just keep, you are meant to give it. Isn't that the heart of a teaching gift? What you've received, you give away. What you received at school, what you've received in your life, what you've received through experience, you give it back. You give it away for the benefit of others. Christ Community, when we're strong in grace, we will be giving back what we've received. We'll be taking what we've got from God and we'll be giving it to those who don't have it yet, or we'll be shoring up those who aren't strong in it yet, but we'll be teaching and we'll be sharing. Listen to the chain. I love the chain in this. Take the things you heard from me. That was Paul. The one who hurt him, that was Timothy. Commit these to faithful men. That's the third ring in the chain. Who are able to teach others also. That's the fourth ring in the chain. How strong is this train? How good does this strategy work? How strong in grace is it? Do you imagine this chain? When Paul, he had received it. He was over there in Jerusalem, in Israel, and in Antioch, Syria. He's talking to Timothy, who received the gospel over in Lystra, in Derbe, which is in modern-day Turkey. So it had already crossed over into the Mediterranean. Timothy was going to teach people in Ephesus. That's where he was the pastor. So that chain continued on from Jerusalem over to Lystra, over to Ephesus. And we're preaching it today in Grenada, Mississippi. How long is that chain? How strong is it? It got to you and me, didn't it? And it didn't just fly here. It was built one link at a time. One person taking what they received to the Lord and giving it to somebody else. And that person taking what they received from the Lord and giving it to somebody else. So on and so forth, that somebody shared Christ with you. Somebody shared Christ with me. That's strong. Y'all, don't set up imaginary goals. Be strong like a teacher. Be willing to share what you have received. Be faithful. Be competent, which means able to teach. You know who's not able to teach? Those who are not able to learn. Those who are not able to be humble. Those who are not able to be patient. And if you can't be humble and patient, we don't want you teaching anyway. Because what are you going to teach besides yourself? You got to receive and then be strong enough to teach. But that strength isn't in you. It's in grace. See, this is a picture of strong grace. The second picture of strong grace is a picture of the soldier. It's a picture of the soldier. And this one he elaborates on more than the others. And so we'll elaborate on a little bit more than the others. He says, be a good soldier. What does it mean to be a good soldier? Think about it. Because God wants us to take this image to heart. And can I tell you, it's tough. Being a teacher is tough. Being a good soldier is tough. To be a good soldier, the first requirement is to be willing to go through hard things and not stop. To be a good soldier means you know on the front end you're going to see nasty junk happen in front of your eyes. You're going to lose people you love, and you've got to continue moving forward. That's what it means to be a good soldier. It means you put yourself in harm's way for somebody else. That's what it means to be a good soldier first. And that word, endure hardship, it's a word that actually draws in a community. It's really saying be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, willing to bear up under hard things with all those others who are bearing up under hard things. Join the team of soldiers. You know what Christ wants in revival at Christ Community Church? For us to be good soldiers. You know what I hear so much of, not necessarily here, but just around? Well, I stopped because it wasn't fair, because it was hard, because I wasn't getting what I wanted, because of this and because of that. And I can only imagine Jesus holding up the weight of the universe, having taken your sin and saying, what's wrong with you? Don't you know I love you? Won't you bear up under this with me? I've invited you to come with me. Why are you looking for something to be pampered? Why are you looking for something easy when I invited you to walk the road with me? How come when we think of grace, we think of a bunch of Christians being sissies? That ain't what Jesus speaks about in grace at all. Be strong in the grace and be a good soldier willing to endure hardship. If I thought life was about me and I had to earn heaven, I'm going to endure only what I think is minimally necessary to impress God. But when I know God has got my back, when I know God loves me, when I know God has filled me, what could I not endure? Oh, don't let any of these spineless, weak, selfish, self-centered arguments enter your mind and heart. It's not the direction God wants to take our church. He wants us to be strong in grace, bearing up under hardships, avoiding tangle-ups. He says anybody, nobody engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life or this world. How many Christians do I know who get disheartened about what's going on in our nation? And I understand it's disheartening. But can I tell you, it's got nothing to do with the way Christ runs his church. Don't get yourself tangled up, church. If you've picked a team and it's Team Jesus, you let those other things hash themselves out. You focus on Christ, on the cross, on eternity, not the temporary. We got too many half Christians, half politicians. We don't need all that. If you're a politician, great, be one. Be one to your utmost ability. Be Christian in it. But can I tell you, the church is going to outlast Grenada. It's going to outlast Mississippi. It's going to outlast America. It's going to outlast the world. It's going to outlast every army. There will be a day when the seventh trumpet blows up in heaven and there's a loud voice that says, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall rule forever and ever. Amen. That's not going to be said of any other kingdom, land, presidency, dictatorship, nothing. You and I, if you've come to know God and his grace, you and I get to be a part of a team and a nation that never, ever ends. Matter of fact, the Bible says our citizenship indeed is already in heaven when you believe. What I say is, be a good soldier. A good soldier doesn't get entangled up during warfare. He's got to be focused. He's got to be on mission. He's got to be the one who says, look, I'm doing these things for a higher purpose, a higher calling. I'm listening to the one who called me, and I'm going to take care of his mission first. And I'm not going to make any excuses. Unfortunately, well, there's a lot of good churches. I don't want to say unfortunately. But y'all, look, we're not here to find the best thing for us. We're here to do God's business. That's grace. Looking for the best thing for you, selfishness, ain't got nothing to do with grace. Grace eliminates self. When there's not grace, there's boasting. When there's not grace, there's trying to find out what, well, I need to find out what's best for me, and I got to keep going for me, and it's for me, and about me. Did I talk to you about me yet? Because it's all about me. No, it's not. Listen to the last part of the soldier. Listen to the loyal love. Listen to what it says. He doesn't engage in the affairs of this world that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Not to please himself, but to please Christ. Have you received grace? Well, you won't get strong in that grace until you realize that I want to please him. Man, I want to live for him. It's a tough-minded devotedness to Christ. A tough-minded devotedness to Christ. It literally is saying, I know he's got my back, and so I'm going to be about his mission. I know he's got me, so I'm going to be about him. I'm going to tell you, the tyranny of this life are those who are trying to live for themselves, and they realize they can never get it, but they deceive themselves and think, if I got a little more time, I could do all the things I wanted to do. If I got a little more money, I could live the way I wanted to live. If I got a little more cooperation from the people around me, I could do this and that. Can I tell you, you don't need more time, money, or cooperation to do what God asked you to do. Just do it. His power is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. You go forward and you do it. Okay? Next is the disciplined athlete. Man, do I struggle with this one. I struggle with self-discipline. I struggle with rules and training. But can I tell you, how can you be strong in the Lord and yet be disciplined in the things he calls us to do? Coming to church doesn't save you. It doesn't make God love you more. When you don't come, it doesn't make God love you less. But man, if you're going to grow, how could you grow apart from the body of Christ? If you're going to say you're going to be an athlete, but you don't ever go to the gym, what are you doing? Don't kid me. Don't kid yourself. Just be honest. Say you're going to be a flop. Say you're going for mediocre. Say you're a minimalist. I'm trying to get a C in this life. I hear people say, well, as long as I can just barely scrape into heaven by the skin of my teeth. You ain't never going to barely scrape into nothing. Either God's grace brings you all the way in, or you're not in at all. Don't worry about scraping or minimums. Are you going to give yourself in this life to Jesus, or are you going to play halfsies? Well, he gets part of my time, part of my money, half of this and half of that. Come on. Be disciplined. Boy, this is what gets me. You can be loved by the Lord and even used by him and not read his word. His grace is sufficient to cover even that. But when you read his word and you put it in your mind, you become a strong athlete within the kingdom. Y'all get that? The word he uses here is the way they used to distinguish professional athletes from amateur athletes. He says this, as athletes who compete according to the rules. Competing according to the rules was how they described pro. We would say pro versus amateur. Do you know how big a difference in sports there is between pros and amateurs? We could call amateurs like college. I played college football. Not very long, not very well. I was an amateur. I played offensive line. If you sit next to me, a professional NFL offensive lineman, let's say like Michael Orr, who we saw a movie about called Blindside, it'd be like this. Hi, Mr. Orr. How are you doing? That's wonderful. There'd be a huge difference. And part of that difference isn't just in his genetic makeup, but it's in what he's been through, what he's done, the difference. There's pros and there's amateurs. He's saying when it comes to Christianity, be a pro. Be strong in the grace that God gave you. Let it propel you to heights you'd have never imagined. I like watching mixed martial art fighting. Kung Fu fighting, whatever you'd like to call it. I like watching. I used to wrestle. That's a combative sport. I know some people are like, you shouldn't punch people in the face if you're a Christian. Well, you shouldn't. Unless you're a UFC fighter or something like that, then you should. You should punch them hard and you should punch them often. But I'm always challenged when I see these guys competing for a Stephanos, a temporal crown, and they're working their butts off. They're sweating. They're bleeding. They're wore out. They have to be given IVs after their workouts just to replenish because they've poured themselves out. And then I think about myself, and I think about the church, and I think about how lax we can be. I think about how just like we don't got anything, like we don't have anything important, like we don't have anything to reach for and to strive for. And I think, what's the matter with me? How is it that this guy can train for 8 hours a day to go get his head punched in, and I work for the King of Glory, and I'm worried about what days I get off or this or that? Come on. Have you never been challenged that way? Have you never come to understand? Even when, do you get challenged when you read the scripture? I do. When I read about the apostles, when I read about their faith, when I read about how steadfast they were and how they're willing to go through it all. And I think about some of the excuses I make. When I look at the example of my Lord Jesus, who, like an Olympic pro athlete, could be, he's just unstoppable. He got up in the morning and prayed while everybody else was sleeping. He walked on the water while everybody else was boating. I know y'all are saying, well, I'll do that. I'll do that if you'd let me. Here's my point. He outworked all of them. Was he trying to earn something? No. As the Son of God, as God incarnate, he was setting an example. He wasn't trying to earn a thing. He had it all. He has it all. He's Jesus, Most High, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Didn't prove nothing to nobody. Could have ate breakfast and bread in bed every day of his life, but he got up and prayed. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. John chapter 17 says so. He wasn't just praying for his apostles. He was praying for those of us who would believe on them, on their testimony. And yet we find it hard to pray. I was challenged. I'll give credit where credit was due. Because I don't always do that. I stole it, though. This is from Kevin Jackson. And I'll give some credit to him. He talked about why we struggle in praying. And this is what he said. Because most of us, we're praying about ourselves. He says, and you come quickly to the end of that subject. Well, and then, Lord, I want you to bless me, and I want you to give me, and I want you to... And 5 minutes, you're like, well, can I just repeat that in case I need to emphasize how much you should bless me and give me? And he said, what if we took the Lord's Prayer and we just took every section and we focused it on God? How much easier it would be for us to pray? How much bigger a topic? How much bigger a subject for us to speak on in prayer and asking God what he'd have from us and being willing to wait and to listen? Oh, like a well-trained athlete. Last example is the hardworking farmer. Any of y'all farmers? Any of y'all ever been farmers, grow up on a farm? Yeah, how easy was that? Here's another occasion where you got to work hard like a teacher. You got to sow the seed. And you don't just get to go out the next day and get the crop. You got to do hard work and anticipate the reward to come and be willing to stick it out. If you got to go weed, you go weeding. I don't know what you do as a farmer. I grew up in the city. Whatever y'all got to do. You got to wait for God to give the rain and the sun. And you got to wait and you got to wait and you got to work and you got to wait. And then what happens when it's ready? What happens when all the corn's up or all the cotton's up or all the beans are up? What do you got to do then? You got to work. When do you start work? As soon as you can see. When do you end work? As soon as you can't see no more. At least before lights, and now I don't know how they do. You know, it may go on and on and on. But you got to work. You got to work. Working in it's not a four-letter word in a bad way when you're strong in grace. We ought to work like the hardworking farmer, but no, the crop is coming. We ought to discipline ourselves like the athlete, but know that there's a prize at the end. We ought to be like the soldier who's willing to risk our lives. But we know that victory is coming. We ought to work and sow knowledge and truth like the teacher, knowing that someday some of those students were going to be receptive soil and they're going to remember something you said. It's going to make a difference in their life and God will be pleased. And you have been strong in grace. Man, we need to take it like that. The last thing is a prayer. The prayer of strong grace. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He says, think about this. Y'all, I don't think this is ever going to change. I've wanted to get this in my brain. I've wanted to memorize this. I tested it on my Sunday school class. I didn't have it perfectly memorized yet. But I'm going to tell you something. This is for us. This is for us now. That we would be strong in the grace that comes in Christ Jesus. That we would be giving away what we've received, that we'd be willing to endure hardships with one another, that we would be disciplined and not be halfsies, but disciplined in the gospel, and that we would work hard, knowing that one day the crop will come. One day we'll see it. What if we don't see it here? That's all right. God's so big and vast that this life isn't the end. He wants us to get this in our heads. Do you got it there? I know you don't yet without practice, but will you get it there? Will you please get it in your head? I'm going to get it in my head. Let's get it in our head that we might be strong in the grace of God together. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask, after I'm done praying, if the ushers would come up for the morning offering. Father God, thank you for how you love us. And Lord, I just pray that as we take up the offering, Lord, just that you'd be pleased. Lord, as the sermon sinks in, that we would realize it's not just about this day, but it's about becoming the church you'd have us to be. Strong in grace. Make us that way, Lord. We depend on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ushers come up, Bert, I'm just going to keep talking, so you just hold on to the music. We can take up an offering with a preacher in the background instead of music. I just wanted, y'all go ahead. Y'all don't have the buckets. Here they come. Here come the buckets. Being strong in grace means first that you've received. please be sure, if you're here, that you've received. I didn't give an invitation. I didn't do that on purpose. I did it just because I passed by in my brain, but it came back to me as I was praying for the offering. And I'm going to have an invitation right now, even while these guys are taking the offering. You all go ahead. I prayed for it. It's sanctified. Go for it. My point is this. Yeah. The point is this. God's going to have his way. You and I have the choice to cooperate or not. You and I have the choice to come alongside of them. We're invited to. We're encouraged to. But I'm going to tell you, God's going to have his way here. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never given in to God. I've never fully surrendered to God. God's going to have his way. There's going to be a time when your knee will bow to God, where your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But can I tell you, it's sweeter to do that before you have to, before it's mandated. He gives us the chance. He gives us the opportunity to see his glory now. And that's for us. Oh, he's for us, not against us. His grace is sufficient to cover all things, to catch us and to propel us to heights that we'd never seen before. And he is going to get his way at Christ Community Church. Y'all get what I'm saying? He's going to get his way here. We can't say anything about any other church. We can't pray. We can pray, but I mean, we're this church. He's got to have our all. He's got to. It's not worth it otherwise. This has never been a halfsies church. Never was supposed to be. It was never supposed to be a country club. It was never supposed to be anything, and I don't think it is any of those things, but I'm going to tell you, if we don't give God his way, it could sure become those things. If you've never received Christ, now's your time. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Father God, I pray right now, if there's anybody in here, if they need to give their life to you, Father, would you call them out? If they need to recommit their life to you, Father, call them out. If they just need to say, yes, Lord, forgive me for hiding in the shadows of weakness. I'm ready to stand out in the light and the strength of grace. Father, would you call them out? Because this church wasn't built. It wasn't started. It wasn't planted. It wasn't given a building. It wasn't any of those things to be status quo, mediocre, weak, and anemic. It was meant to be a church on fire. Would you make us that, Lord? We love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have just a short invitation. If you need prayer, would you come on? I'll be here. I'll pray with you. If you want to accept what Christ is doing in your life and you want to indicate that publicly by coming forward, now is your time.